So with an update on the second day of a profound general strike in the state of Nigeria, we're joined now from Lagos for the BBC's Mark Lobel. Mark, what's going on today?
As yesterday, the main streets, which are usually heavily congested with traffic, sometimes takes 3 or 4 hours to get over the main bridge here, are all but empty. Overnight, we found out that the unions had met with government officials and no deal had come from that meeting. So the strike continues. And today we have some new one new union joining the strike, the Oil and Gas Workers Union. Apparently a peaceful strike going off in Port Harcourt, which is the main city in the oil-producing region.
And as far as the subsidy issue is concerned, we're told that the strike began because the government ended subsidies on fuel. But are there more issues than just the subsidies?
Well, the main issue was that increase from 40 cents a litre to 86 cents a litre. Now, 46 cents was very cheap. But I think when you bear in mind that the majority of Nigerians earn less than $2 a day, and so many of them rely on petrol for transportation and for heating, then in terms of the overall picture where there's so much underdevelopment in the country, it is the one thing that would really strike at the heart of most Nigerians. There are certainly a coalition of groups that had grievances with the government for all sorts of other reasons that have come together that has perhaps made it such a large protest, the first national strike since 2003 here.
And we're listening to that rally in the background. What's going on?
Well, there's a hundreds of people. In fact, there are now thousands of people. It's really picked up here. They're having a good time. At this particular rally in Lagos, there's a carnival atmosphere, and people have been giving out ex-presidents' phone numbers for the crowd to ring up and, I guess, harass somewhat. But yesterday they had the son of the Afrobeat star, Fela Kuti, the late Fela Kuti. His son, Femi, was coming and came and sang. So it's almost like a concert here, really. There haven't been any problems here. But in other parts of the country, it's not been as smooth. We had disturbances yesterday, and protesters in both the north and south were shot dead by police in the largest state in the north, Kano. They had a curfew in place overnight, and none of the protests are taking place there. So while it's a carnival atmosphere at the moment, there are tensions as well.
So from Lagos, Mark Lobel reporting on the second day of a general strike called by trade unions to protest increased prices for fuel and the ending of certain subsidies. Thank you so much, Mark.
Thank you.
We're going to spend a couple of minutes now with John Campbell, the former U.S. ambassador to Nigeria and a senior fellow for Africa Policy Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations. He's also the author of Nigeria, Dancing on the Brink. Ambassador, good morning.
Good morning.
So describe that sense of tension, yet amidst a kind of carnival atmosphere in Nigerian politics, before we get into the nuts and bolts of what's going on in this country.
That's a good way of putting it. Tension combined with a carnival atmosphere, particularly in Lagos. Lagos has a long history of opposition to the government, to any government that's in power, and perhaps even more so now that the capital has been moved from Lagos to Abuja. What we should all be very grateful for is that the protests in Lagos thus far have been relatively peaceful. After all, at 17 million people, we are talking about one of the largest cities in the world.
Indeed.
And whenever you have a place that is that big, the mood can change really quite rapidly. Happily, thus far, it has not.
The mechanics in Nigeria are crucial and heartbreaking in a sense. Extreme poverty, yet enormous natural resources. Is it the case that Nigeria essentially can count on no taxes from the populace, yet the people count on the government maintaining these subsidies for fuel and other commodities?
A bit more than 90% of Nigeria's export earnings come from oil. And oil provides a bit more than 80% of the revenue at all levels. It is perfectly true that for most Nigerians, the overwhelming majority of Nigerians, the only benefit they get from Nigeria's oil production is the fuel subsidy. There's a very strong sense amongst Nigerian people that the oil and the gas were placed in Nigeria by God, and that oil and that gas belongs to them as Nigerians.
And so step over that line as a government, and boom, you really are igniting a powder keg.
Indeed you are. And numerous governments over the years, both military and civilian, have tried to reduce or eliminate the fuel subsidy and have always backed down in the face of popular opposition.
You know, the Nigerians share a natural resource with nations like, say, Iran. Iran, a nation associated with a particular kind of zealotry in the government, yet also maintains a broad set of subsidies to keep the populace sort of happy. What are the challenges for Nigeria that might be different for the challenges in Iran maintaining peace by using the oil weapon?
The country, Nigeria, most people are much poorer than most people in Iran. You will sometimes see that most Nigerians live on $2 a day or less. In fact, a substantial number of them live on $1 a day or less. So you're talking about an enormous country, 165 million people, bigger than the Russian Federation, in which the vast majority of the population is desperately poor. And in fact, doubling fuel prices has an immediate and, in fact, cataclysmic effect on a significant portion of the population. By the way, there's lots of talk about gasoline prices, lots of talk about kerosene prices. But for ordinary people, the most important item of consumption is cooking fuel.
Cooking fuel, right.
So it immediately impacts on them.
So what is the U.S. traditional role in Nigeria? Is it our government's position that this is a sustainable situation in Nigeria, or are we just sort of holding our breath, hoping that this doesn't go out of control?
Traditionally, U.S. official relations with Nigeria have been extremely close. The big American oil companies are active there. But a very important fact to remember: the oil is, in fact, the property of the Nigerian state. And if you count profits and taxes levied on oil production, substantially more than 90% of the profits from oil go to the Nigerian state. So, in fact, when you are talking about an internal domestic matter, such as fuel subsidies and the reaction to lifting them, the leverage that the U.S. government, or for that matter, that the oil companies have, is extremely limited.
Extremely limited, exactly. John Campbell, former U.S. ambassador to Nigeria, senior fellow for Africa Policy Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations. He's also the author of Nigeria, Dancing on the Brink, and we're watching some of that dancing in the second day of a general strike called for in Nigeria. Ambassador Campbell, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.